today on It's Time.
Everybody dies the same. It doesn't matter whether you're the richest man in the world or the poorest pauper in the world. Death comes to everyone.
Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling. It's time. It's time. It's time.
Welcome to It's Time with Pastor Mike Kessler, the daily teaching ministry from the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. In our current series, Pastor Mike is teaching in the book of Ecclesiastes, one of three books accredited to King Solomon. In all his time as king chasing the things of the world, King Solomon chooses to end Ecclesiastes by writing, "Fear God and keep his commandments." With a look at what's up under the sun, here's Pastor Mike.
And I could have as much pleasure as I wanted to. I could just keep pleasuring out till you burn out. The problem is that pleasure never satisfies. You know, I remember this, and any of you guys that have ever had cars that are fast, and the first time you rode, you know, in a fast car, you went, wow, this is really good. And then, you know, somebody brought over a supercharged car, and you go, wow, that's really fast. You know, your face pulls back, you know, and you're going, whoa, and you feel yourself sink down in the seat, and you go, wow, that's really fast. Really neat. Well, it's neat for a while until somebody brings over a fuel-injected turbocharged car. It's the first time you ever rode a jet ski, for instance. I remember the first jet ski I ever got. I don't think it went over 20 miles an hour, and I thought this thing was the most rockin'est thing ever. I can't stand to go 20 miles an hour on one of them things anymore. But it gets back to the same issue. You'll notice that if you get exactly what you want, you will then become what? Dissatisfied. This is the problem, is what he's saying here. So I said, I will test my heart with you with mirth, happiness, partying. But the thing is that it doesn't last. Then he says, I will enjoy pleasure. But surely this also is vanity. Because again, pleasure, and if you get too much pleasure, what happens? You get bored. The amount of pleasure. You want the right amount of mirth, but no one knows where that line really is because it moves around. So, let's look at this. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. This was vanity. So we know mirth and pleasure wasn't it. I said of laughter, it's madness. And of mirth, what does it accomplish? You think, you know, while I'm having a good time, the weeds are a-growing. And I think about having a good time, but the house needs painting. And this is what he's saying. And along again, when he says, when with wisdom or knowledge comes grief. And the reason why is because you're aware of more things that need to be done. And so when you're doing these things, I searched my heart. How to gratify my flesh with wine, why guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold of folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. It's interesting here what he says. So I made works great. And this is what, first we might say, it wasn't in pleasure. Now he begins to address accomplishments. And you know, there's something about works that we take pride in, don't we? I mean, we do something, we make, and I think this is good. I think all of these are in balance, but the problem is without, outside of Christ, they don't stay in balance. That's why they say, well, usually marijuana is the introductory drug to much harder drugs later on. See, the problem is that we don't know where the brake pedal is in our lives. And because leaving God out of the equation, we then can find ourselves a target for these ideas that promise a better fulfillment of life. So now, he begins to address now accomplishments. Now, This is interesting because in religion, one of the things that you'll find outside of Christianity is a works trip. In other words, get out and knock on those doors. You know, sell flowers in airport, wear orange, eat organically grown turnips or something. Get in the lotus position in the middle of your living room and focus on the third eye in the middle of your forehead. You know, because you can say, look what I did. I found self-fulfillment. What Solomon is addressing here is he's addressing the philosophies, the beliefisms of life. And anything outside of serving God is never going to be that really settles. So we looked in at our accomplishments and we say, look what I did. This means something. And what's unfortunate, it may have taken you weeks, months, or years to build something, to make something. I know these things, unfortunately, are true. Only to have it wrecked, or it becomes obsolete, or you die and it's sold at a yard sale for a quarter. But these are issues that face every human being. This is important, is because what you might say in philosophy classes taught in colleges, you might say this is psychology based upon perspective from God's perspective. And this is what troubles humanity. We talk about when Jesus looked at Peter and said, from now on you'll be catching men. There's a lot of interesting lures in Dad's tackle box. One of the questions sometimes you can ask somebody is, what do you think heaven is? And you'll get all kinds of crazy ideas. If you ever want to open a conversation with somebody you don't know, what do you think heaven is? That's a good one, because you'll get all kinds of things. And then after they're done ranting and rambling, then they'll say, well, what do you think heaven is? And just say, well, I can tell you what heaven I know is. Then you can go to Revelation chapter 4 and 5. You can go to Isaiah chapter 6 and many other places in the Bible are picture types or actual, you might say, eyewitnesses that saw what heaven is. You can open a conversation that way. But another lure in Dad's tackle box, the observations of Solomon of what is life about. Because this troubles people, and again, when they do their hobbies and they have their accomplishments, and then they see what they work so hard on come to nothing, or be rendered obsolete in some way, through technology or natural disasters or whatever. When we find our identity outside of ourselves in something we do, this is a problem. Notice he says. He says, I made my works great. He didn't just make my works. He said, I made them great. Whatever I did big. I built myself houses. Notice he didn't build just one. He built houses. And planted myself vineyards. Notice plural. He didn't plant just one. I made myself gardens and orchards. And I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. So, you know, people that are into gardening. This is what life is. Going out and looking at a rose bud. That's life. Or going out and, you know, I've got my garden and this is what gives me my identity. He goes, I've done that. I acquired male and female servants. He realized that it was so big that it got out of hand and he had to get help to carry on this vision of his purpose of life. So he says, I got male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. So this guy was in the economic world at the top. His Dow Jones Industrial Average was off the chart. This guy had the magic juju that made everybody go, ooh, look what he's got. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and special treasures, evidences. I had male singers. So, see, he didn't go out and buy the album, man. He got them to come and play for him. He didn't just hit the repeat button on the stereo. He actually had a live band there for him. They were his servants. So he could have music whenever he wanted. The delights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. So basically, he didn't go down and drool at the guitar store. He owned it. So he had everything that anybody would ever want. So he's saying, in my accomplishments now, it wasn't just that I planted vineyards and built houses and had female and male servants. And then I had female and male servants. Their whole job was just to be rock and rollers. They were just musicians. So I became great and excelled more than also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever, now notice this, this is just really incredible here. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. You want it, you got it, that's the way it was. Now, you would think that if material goods, mirth and wine, what he's already talked about, and to do great things, would give the purpose of life. In other words, it would satisfy your soul. This is the guy that had it. And I did not withhold from my heart any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on the labor which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. And there was no profit under the sun. Wow. Under the sun, in the long run, in eternity, it has no profit. This bothered him. In fact, this statement, under the sun, appears 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, expressing the emptiness of life apart from some spiritual purpose in serving God. Now, the reason why I think this is so relevant today is because we think more is better, heavier, bigger, more parts. That's what we think. And here, interestingly enough, Solomon is saying it's not in that. Now, it doesn't matter whether you lived 935 BC, which is about when this was written. It doesn't make any difference. And it's interesting, around the world, it's perceived that all the things that Solomon is listing here are the answers to life. But what he's saying is it's not. And it didn't work. So then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man, the king, you're at the top. So you're a king, smart, you got stuff. You got as much as you can possibly have. And still, he says, there's something empty inside. Only what he has already done excels folly as light excels darkness. A wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. Now, what event is that he's talking about? Well, as we read on, we'll see. Everybody dies the same. It doesn't matter whether you're the richest man in the world or the poorest pauper in the world. Death comes to everyone. Something that people who have money always think about is losing it. Case in point, Job. That I feared the most has come upon me. That's when everything had collapsed on him and the house collapsed on his kids and he lost all of his crops and then he lost his health. He said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. That's one of the things that the rich people always are concerned about. But the truth is, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you die just the same. That the same, verse 15. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. Wow. What we as Christians need to look at here is not so much what Solomon is saying, even though we need to do that, but this is the same mentality of people in the world that we witness to, that we reach out to Jesus with. Because again, see, they're confronted with the same issues that we are. The only difference is we know God, we know we have an eternal purpose, we know that we're about our Father's business, as Jesus said when his parents came back to find him when he was about 12 years old and he was in the temple. That's what he was about. He said, "Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?" That's what we need to be about. Because it's the only place there's any. So when you look at your life and you think, "Well, this failed and I got this, whoopee, you know, I got the front row at the seat, you know, on the Ferris wheel ride, you know, But when you look at your life and you say, "But you know what, God, I did this for you, and I know this is going to last in eternity. And I did this for you, and I know this is going to last in eternity. And I did this for you, and this is going to..." That brings a settlement that has done these things, has no concept of eternity, empty, and they're frustrated, and they're lonely. Well, yeah. Now, if you can punch through the veneer that they have, that they carry, of saying, "Yeah, well, I got this, and I got that, and I got 10 of them, and I got 15 of those." And they're not going to let you see that part of their heart that is scared to death. Because they remember, friends, again, they may never think they're going to die as they talk to everybody else, but when they lay their heads down on their pillows at night, they're confronted with the same issues that every other human being on this planet is. And see, what I'm saying is this: sometimes I think we forget what it's like. And forgive me on this, but I think we forget what it's like to be a worldly person and go partying and stuff like that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying the emptiness, the futile lifestyle outside of Christ. That's what I think that sometimes we forget, and this is what they wrestle with. Now, understanding their mentality, I believe, helps us communicate to them that, hey, there is something more than existing every day. What can be said is vanity upon vanities. So he says, "So as it happens to the fool, so it happens to me. Why was I the more wise? I said in my heart, 'This is also vanity,' for there is no more remembrance of a wise than of a fool is, will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? Just like the fool." You don't think that rocks the world of somebody that's used to having it their way? Now, you look at this and you realize something. There's no more than of the fool forever. When you look at eternity, friends, and eternity varies depending on the size of the accomplishment, okay? Some of these great, some of you may know, some of you may not know. Who is the one that drove the gold spike at Promontory Point? You know? Nobody knows. Okay. The point is that was one of the most monumentous things in the history of the United States, connecting the East to the West, where it once took a half a year to cross the United States. Now it could be done in a matter of days. All the labor and all the things that went into that. But nobody remembers their name. See, the point is this is what I believe in, why this book is so dynamic in the side of their comfort zone and says, "Hey, listen, why are you here?" Scary. Because if you don't know God, you don't have an answer. And so you hear this goofy kind of mentality that comes out of our society. "He with the most toys when he dies wins." Nothing. You see, because we don't take time to think. We do, but to quantitatively and logically step through the process of, hey, if I do this, this is going to get old. When I do this, nobody's going to remember who I was 50 years from now. And depending on what you did, depends on how short they will forget. But eventually they will forget. I always thought it was interesting that in the Bible talks about when Jesus was picking his disciples, the rich young ruler came. And he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You know that I have done since my youth." And Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Go sell what you have, give the money to the poor, come and..." He was very wealthy. "Go into heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." Now, the point simply is this. Peter was just a fisherman for God. But the rich young ruler, we don't know his name. And this side of heaven, we never will. And you think about that for a minute. All we know, it was a man, he was rich, and he went away sad because he was very wealthy. When Jesus asked him to come and join him. May very well have been the first choice over Judas Iscariot. Don't know. But you see, if you don't do something for God, no one knows who you are. And no one's going to care. Do you realize that lasts forever? Verse 17, we'll close. "Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and grasping at the wind." Again, we'll look at some other aspects of what gives life meaning. Find in your sharing that you will come upon people with these different ideas that think life is nothing but a party. Life is for having a good time. Or people will say life is for, and they'll insert their own thing that gives it definition. What I want to share with you tonight is, I believe that the book of Ecclesiastes for Christians is depended from. It's to tell the non-Christian what they need to repent from. You see, because all of those things in eternity don't matter. But what matters is what's done for God. Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that as we live our lives each day, that we have a purpose and a hope in you. And God, that you clarify our vision and why we're here. And Lord, thank you that you've called us to repent from these things that mean nothing. And so, Father, we ask you tonight to give us wisdom when we share your love with people around us, that we would be able to communicate your truth. And that through your word, we have a little more insight of the way they think and how they value life. And so, Father, thank you for your purposes for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's It's Time. Get the daily podcast through iTunes by searching for It's Time in the podcast section of the iTunes store. On behalf of Pastor Mike, the River Christian Fellowship, and all of us here at CSN, thanks for listening to It's Time. Yeah.